Music That Matters with Michael McLaughlin.
Very welcome to Music That Matters with me, Michael McLaughlin. My guest here in studio this afternoon is an electrician, a musician, a broadcaster, a man of many talents, James Finnegan. You're very welcome to the studio,
James.
Thanks a
million, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Okay. James, in this, the format of this program is, as you may know, that we talk to guests about the music that's important to them and about where the place that that music has in their lives. So, let's go back to yourself and, well, your origins, basically, where you come from, well, where you were born.
Well, I was born here in Tuam, but I only stayed here in Tuam a short while after that. I'm from Loughrea.
You're from Loughrea.
I've lived in Loughrea, yeah, since. So,
were you born in the Grove Hospital here in Tuam?
In the Bon Secours, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, my parents are from Tuam, and I've lived in Loughrea all my life. Yeah, so not too far away.
Yeah. And what kind of, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have two brothers and two sisters.
And where do you come in the family?
I'm fourth, so I have one younger brother.
Okay.
Yeah, he's 5 years younger than me. Then the next one up for me is 5 years older than that again. And then the two sisters are a year and a year older than him.
Okay, so yeah. you're well spread out.
Well spread out, yeah.
Yeah. And your parents, are they still alive and hale and hearty?
They are indeed, yeah. My father is a retired guard now at this stage, and he's been working in Boston Scientific the past 6 years.
Okay.
Yeah, and my mother, she's working as a tour guide now, doing pilgrimage tours at the moment, so they're both flying it, you know.
That's great.
Absolutely, yeah.
You said you were born in here in Tuam. Obviously, you know, that was, you were here for the first few days of when you were born. Did your family live here at that time, or did they live in Loughrea?
They lived in Loughrea, but I think it's just the fact that both my parents were from Tuam, so both of their families would have been from Tuam, so they would have had the support around them at the time.
Okay,
I think it's just the way things happened. Yeah, and
yeah.
Plus, yeah.
Because on the Loughrea side, a lot of people would tend to be born in Portiuncla Hospital.
Absolutely, yeah, in Ballinasloe, yeah. But I suppose it's just the way of having the family support around and being close to home for them, especially, you know.
Of course, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's probably why I was born in Tuam.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And what would you say like Loughrea was like as a town to grow up in?
I thought it was great. Well, I grew up out the country in Kilcrease between Loughrea and Gort. It was great, you know, great freedom.
Were you writing
sport the whole time?
Were you right in the countryside?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. On the main road, which like the nearest village would have been Kilcrease, which would have been a mile away.
Okay.
In between Kilcrease and Castlelady. So yeah, right bang in the middle of the countryside.
And how come you lived there then? If both your parents were from Tuam, when was the decision made to move to Kilcrease?
Well, Dad would have been stationed in Loughrea.
In Loughrea, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they prefer not to have lived in the town.
I presume so. I suppose at the time it just came up that they were actually renting a house just on the outskirts of Loughrea, and the woman they were renting off was actually living in our house as it is at the moment. So they bought that house off her.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so it's in terms of then having neighbours and people around, was that a part of your life when you were younger?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I had loads of friends around me. Yeah, we used to be out playing hurling and playing football, you know, it was great in the summers, you know, so yeah, we used to be up the mountains and in the woods and down around the river, you know, the countryside is great, you know.
Yeah.
It's like I would have had friends as well that grew up in the town of Loughrea, and it'd be completely different for them what's the way they were brought up or the way they lived, you know.
Okay.
Going around the town, they wouldn't have had as much to do. Well, if they did, they were knocking around the town and messing, you know.
Yeah,
I think it's a completely different way of life, especially if that's it at that age, you know.
Yeah. And did your parents have a farm then as well?
Oh god, no.
Okay.
No,
yeah,
no. If you're
Your father wasn't one of those people that moved to the country and decided to become a hobby farmer.
No, no. We had a few neighbours, right, that would have been guards, and they would have been doing a bit of farming.
A bit of farming, yeah.
Yeah, but no, I didn't have enough for doing, you know.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay. Just in terms then of when you were growing up and in terms of music, it will say in your house, in your family, first of all, was music an important thing in your family?
Oh, yeah. It was always there for me. Say, my brother, no, my older brother, 5 years older than me, you know. So I suppose when he got to the age about 10 or 12, or especially went into secondary school, that's when he really got big into music, and he would have been a big influence on me. But my parents also, my mother, big fan of Roy Orbison, the Beach Boys, the Beatles, you know. My dad would love Thin Lizzy, loves Johnny Cash, you know. So it was always there. There was always music being played.
Yeah,
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 absolutely.
Okay, there was a lot of music in the house then.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And my family would be fairly musical as such as well. You know, there was always the piano there as well, like in the sitting room. And,
okay.
Yeah, so there was always music.
And did your parents play music?
My mother would play a bit of piano and she'd sing as well. You know.
Okay.
My sisters, I suppose, got piano lessons and all that, and we're all subjected to that a bit, you know. But my grandmother would be fairy good singer, and I have cousins as well that play instruments, you know. So as a whole, the family would be fairly musical.
Okay.
My mother's side especially.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Okay, well, you were mentioning there your mother was a big fan of the Beach Boys, and let's hear the Beach Boys, and this is God Only Knows. That's the Beach Boys there, and God Only Knows, a song that you've said, James, would have featured in your house as one of your mother's favourite acts.
Yeah, yeah. When I discovered that, I just played it over and over again. My mum had a tape called 20 Golden Greats, the Beach Boys' greatest hits. And when I heard that song, I just fell in love with it. I rewind it back and play it again and again and again. And that led on to me then, like, discovering the likes of Pet Sounds.
Oh, yeah.
One of the greatest albums of all time. I think it is anyways, you know.
Yeah.
Incredible. And
a classic. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Unbelievable. And just led me to appreciate Brian Wilson, how good he was, you know. So yeah, it's just an amazing song. It's a beautiful piece of music, you know.
It's funny because I could see then when there's that kind of musical appreciation in your house, you can see how you know that it would have been not so difficult then for you to like music as well, when obviously you have to have some kind of a musical ear, I suppose, to recognize good music. And then, you know, if someone has done that for you, a previous generation, and then you're subjected to it, it's not very difficult to pick up really good music.
Yeah, and, yeah. And well, I suppose we were listening to good music anyways. You know, there was always, well, what I'd consider good music,
yeah,
like Roy Orbison, great singer, and
yeah,
the likes of the Beach Boys there, you know, so.
Yeah. You know. Very good. Now, you went to school in Loughrea, did you?
Yeah, well, I went to primary school in Kilcrease and then secondary school in Loughrea.
Okay, well, let's talk about primary school first. What was Kilcrease primary school like?
Ah, it was great. It was a small school, you know, four classrooms, four teachers. Each teacher would have two classes. Very close knit. We'd know everyone. We're all good friends.
So you would have shared a class, would you? Like one teacher would teach two classes at the same time.
Yeah, one teacher would have fifth and sixth, and then third and fourth, first and second, or whatever way it was. Babies and high infants, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah, it was a small school, and it was only over the road from me. You know, we'd walk over, cycle over, and get the bus as well during the winter, I suppose, sometimes, because the weather, even though like we'd only be three quarters of a mile from the school, you'd have to go around the country, you know. It's just,
yeah,
you couldn't go walking along the main road then as well either. But in the summer we'd walk or cycle over, and I suppose then it was all hurling, you know.
Yes, yeah.
If we could at all, we'd be put out hurling, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the way it is in South Galway, I suppose up around Tuam would be all football, you know. But
yeah,
we were put out hurling the whole time. It's great too. We loved it, you know.
Yeah, because I suppose Loughrea and Portumna, and well, even we'll say East Galway towards Ballinasloe and all that, they'd all be quite strong hurling areas.
Yeah. I'd say Richie Murray went to school with me. Like, he was one of the best minor hurlers Galway's ever seen. You know, he played for the seniors as well, and but he wasn't as prominent as a senior hurler, but he was an incredible minor hurler, winning All Ireland's with Galway, two All Ireland minors, you know.
Yeah,
captain in them, you know. And the likes of Kenneth Burke as well, and David Burke, who plays Galway now, they came from St. Thomas's or Kilcrease, as it is as well, you know. So yeah, there's plenty of good hurlers coming from the area. Yeah, but it's all hurling.
Okay. We were talking earlier on there about early music that you would have listened to, and we had there already, we had a piece of music that was kind of came from an influence at home, which was your mother. But another, I suppose, band that everyone in Ireland was interested in when they were young was U2. Mm. What does U2 mean for you? What's your memories of U2, or what's your associations with U2, or what did they mean to you?
Well, U2 were huge in the '80s. They were absolutely massive. They were breaking through, you know. But my first memory was being brought into the Claddagh Palace, myself, my dad, my brother, you know, and my dad's friend and another couple of our mates as well, and going in to see Rattlin' Hum. And the movie starts with Helter Skelter, and it's just amazing. Like, it's in black and white, but just the opening chords, Edge playing those out. It's a Beatles cover, but it stuck with me forever, like, seeing that at the time. It's just an amazing piece of music, brilliant album, brilliant movie. But
okay, let's hear a bit of Helter Skelter then from U2.
This is a song Charles Manson stole from the Beatles. We're stealing it back. When you get to the bottom, you go back to the top of the slide, and you stop, and you turn, and you go for a ride. Then you get to the bottom, then you see me go. Do you, don't you want me to love you more? Come on now, fast and rock your back, you're alone. Tell me, there is ain't no law, but you ain't no dancer.
Stone Licks.
Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock. The news on Lakes Radio with Michael McLaughlin. First, the headlines. Attitude of landlords causing problems for businesses. Courthouse move delayed by legal difficulties. Extended public hours in the swimming pool in Tuam. The attitude of landlords in Tuam is causing serious problems for businesses in the town, a survey by Lakes Radio has found. Several businesses are either closing or moving because rents in Tuam are, in some cases, even higher than rents in Galway City. The issue has come into sharp focus with the recent banning of upward-only rent reviews by the Minister for Justice. However, this only applies to new leases, and many businesses which are on existing leases will not benefit from this change. Speaking to Lakes Radio, a tenant of a commercial property in Tuam describes the difficulty in finding reasonable rents in the town.
To find a unit in Tuam where the rent is reasonable is very daunting. It's next near impossible to find a place that has reasonable rent. My brother-in-law, who was opening a restaurant, there's 3 restaurants in Galway City, and the most expensive rent he has is 1,200 a month. And on opening a restaurant in Tuam, the cheapest unit he could find was 4,000 euros per month.
Former mayor of Tuam, Martin Ward, has called on landlords in the town to be reasonable around rent levels, given that retail business has declined and many shops are experiencing trading difficulties. Plans to hold the July session of Tuam District Court in a new temporary courthouse have been scuppered by legal wrangling. The HSE, which is the owner of the former hospital in Tuam, is currently in negotiations with the court service with the view to using the hospital chapel as a temporary courthouse. The chapel will be used until finance is made available to build a permanent courthouse on the site of the former Tuam Stars building on the Dublin Road. Speaking to Lakes Radio, Court Service spokesman Pat Fenlon said that the existing court arrangement, where the district court is held in Tuam Town Hall, is totally unacceptable, both from an access and congestion point of view. He said that subject to the negotiations with the HSE being completed, the alteration of the chapel will be put out to tender, and construction should take about a month to complete. The news that there will be more public hours available in the swimming pool in Tuam has been welcomed by Tuam Town Council. Speaking exclusively to Lakes Radio, Town Councillor Owen Ward said that the pool was a community pool and should be available to the community. The pool will now be open to the public for 60 hours per week in the summertime and 51 hours per week in the wintertime. Councillor Ward said that while it was disappointing that the contract with the pool operator did not specify that the public should be given access, he was pleased that the matter has now been resolved. And that's your news for now.
Lakes.
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 Stone Lakes.
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 Lakes Radio. Podcasting from a website near you.
Sick of watching the Late Late Show every Friday night? You need to get out more. But where to go?
Oh my God, I so hate those nightclubs that play all that rave stuff. I'd much rather hear some dance music.
Well, let Liam Graney help you out. On his Nightlight show, Liam takes a look at the different nightclubs you can choose from. Liam talks about where the club is, who goes, as well as playing samples of the club's music to give you a flavour. Liam also features an extensive pub and club gig guide. So don't ever be stuck trying to choose between different clubs again. Tune into Nightlight with Liam Graney, here on Lakes Radio.
Music that matters.
And you're very welcome back to the programme. It's with me, Michael McLaughlin, and I'm talking this afternoon to James Finnegan. Okay, James, we were talking there earlier on about primary school. You went to primary school in Kilcreest. And of course, in any young person's life, it's a big step up to go from primary school to secondary school. And you went from primary school in more or less a country area to secondary school in a town. What was that transition like?
For me, it was pretty smooth because the way things worked for me, I had a lot of friends from the town anyways. I started playing tennis when I was about 10, so I used to be in and out the town every day, sort of during the summer playing tennis. And I met a few friends from the town, plus my dad being a guard in town. He I was friends with a few guard sons, you know, so it wasn't too bad. I knew a few people going into school already, so I didn't mind in that sense. It wasn't too much pressure or
you weren't
trying to make new friends or anything. I had sort of friends in there, so I knew where I was going in that regard, so I didn't have any major worries or problems, you know.
You weren't a total stranger.
No, and like that, I had a few friends already going into school with me that I would have known from outside of my primary school. Plus, you would have had the little gang as well from my own school going in with me, you know, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I suppose it was a great time, you know, I enjoyed it. Wasn't too much worry or anything.
Now, you actually play music yourself and you have a CD out on iTunes at the
it's
moment.
It's up on iTunes, yeah.
When did you actually start, when did you take an instrument in your hand, a musical instrument in your hand the first time?
I would have got piano lessons when I was in primary school. Keyboard lessons and stuff like that in school, tin whistle I suppose when I went into secondary school, that's when I got serious into it. Myself and a couple of my mates were going starting a band. We got big into music and I got a bass guitar for Christmas when I was 13. And that was it. We started a band called Alien Angel and we used to play all the stuff we liked at the time, like Nirvana, Green Day, Smashing Pumpkins, Offspring, just anything we liked ourselves at the time. And it was just rock and roll, you know.
Yeah,
it was great crack.
So you played the guitar now, and so that was around that time then you started playing, is it?
Yeah, that's when I would have picked up the guitar as well that time, you know.
Mm.
And I played with bands then all through secondary school. Myself and the boys played as Alien Angel for about a year or so. Then I joined up with another band called Copper Blue. They needed a bass player. So I played with Alton Conlon then. He's a great singer-songwriter and another great drummer, Jason Williams, and a guitarist called Mark Hanafy. Really, really good musicians. So I was lucky, very lucky to get playing with them at the time. And we got a lot of gigs. We were playing around Galway, you know, playing The Cellar and The Roisin Dove and these sort of places. And it was a great experience. We used to travel all over the place playing. And it was great, like, just have your own money as well at the time, you know, so it was mighty.
And were you doing cover versions, was it?
Yeah, cover versions. We used to have a few originals as well, which is cool, you know. We used to play in a place called the Abbey Tavern in Loughrea, and there you could do pretty much what you wanted, and it was crazy what happened in there. We used to call it the rock, like Alcatraz. Once you get in, you can't get out. It was where all the crazies hung out in Loughrea, you know. There's two pool tables, but like when a band played, the place would just go crazy, you know. And we used to have some great original songs that they'd just go crazy for.
God, that's great appreciation for a young person, isn't it?
Well, the boys were a bit older than me, you see, too, so sort of took me under their wing. But it was amazing. Yeah, when I think back of it, like some of the gigs, like it was really, really, really great stuff at the time. Yeah.
I remember going on holidays to Liverpool and seeing the way that people in Liverpool appreciate music.
Yeah,
and it sort of said to me, I could see why the Beatles could come out of a city like this where there is such an appreciation of music.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah. Because you will play places where it can break your heart sometimes, that you're just playing to a wall, or it seems like you're playing to a wall. It could be people there and just they don't appreciate it, and they don't even appreciate your efforts, even if it's not that good what you're doing. Like, you know, they don't acknowledge you, or you know, it can break your heart sometimes. You get some tough nights like that, but you get some great nights too, which make it worthwhile as well.
Which make up for it, yeah. It must be very dispiriting, all right, that aspect of it.
Oh, it can be. You can have some horrible nights where you'd come back feeling low or whatever, but then there's always the good ones too that bring you back and keep you going, you know.
Okay, you were mentioning there about, you know, you kind of first got into a band when you were in, you know, early teenage years or whatever.
Yeah.
That would also be the years that people would start going to their very early discos.
Yeah.
Do you remember what early discos were like?
Oh, I do, of course. Yeah. I remember in the Temperance Hall in Loughrea, that's where the school discos were. And you'd walk in the door, and if you're a lad, you'd go straight to the right and the women would walk straight over to the left. And then you'd have a look around when you got there and you'd see what the crack was, you know. You might then send a lad over to ask one or whatever. Then you might end up dancing or, you know. So, it was funny at the time, you know, when you think of it. But like, when you think back as well, like the real pressurized situations building up to these discos, you know. When you think back at that age, it's gas like, but...
Yeah, a lot of peer pressure.
Yeah. But like when I think back at the music at that time, like, and what used to drive us crazy altogether, like it was Nirvana, you know.
Mm.
And I suppose the big one is Smells Like Teen Spirit, you know. Just those opening riffs, and there you go, we'd be dancing and jumping around the place.
So let's hear Nirvana. This is Smells Like Teen Spirit. That's Nirvana there, and Smells Like Teen Spirit, the final choice of my guest here on Music That Matters today. That's James Finnegan. I'd like to thank you for coming into the studio today, James.
Thanks a million for having me, Michael.
It's been a pleasure. So, and thanks for listening, and we'll see you the next time on Music That Matters.
Music That Matters with Michael McLaughlin.